بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to all of you to the 19th episode of Iftar for Soul Season 4. We are almost towards the end of the season. I think I will be recording 8 more episodes, and I think that would be it. And I hope and pray to Allah that that he has guided me, and he guides me through his words. And of course, if my words could somehow entice some change, some motivation to look at Quran deeply and to reflect upon it, and you know, even come up with way better interpretations and reflections than I have in the season. And I guess that's the beauty of the Quran, that if we really reflect upon the words of Allah, it just suits us in our unique circumstances that we go through. And honestly, sometimes it happens, even if I have read a surah several times, but when I'm going through a certain difficulty in my life, when I read that particular ayah, it is as if I've heard that ayah for the first time in my life. It's very powerful, this beautiful Quran and the word of Allah. And and today also is the last day of the second 10 days of Ramadan. And I hope and I pray to Allah that that we have reflected upon the forgiveness, the attributes that describe the forgiveness of Allah, and also learned how to nurture forgiveness within us. And of course, it's not something that will happen overnight. I think this is a process that we just have to refresh every year. Excuse me, just equip ourselves with the right tools and knowledge. So today's rhetorical question is also a bit, I think what I mentioned yesterday, that what we are entering now is a very is a surah that is a very legislative nature. So the question that I'm going to deal with might happen that many of the questions I'm going to deal with have to do something with a background that is within the jurisprudence of Islam, and that is why to come up with the reflections that go beyond the limited knowledge that I have, accommodating the rulings in Islam, will be difficult for me to reflect more. So perhaps this episode will also be shorter. Yesterday I thought it would be short, but I think I talked a lot about the background. Perhaps that's why the episode was long, but perhaps this would not be the case today. So today we are looking at just the ayah next after the one yesterday, at 21. So this is ayah 21, surah 4, Nisa, where it says, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim." And how could you take it back after having enjoyed each other intimately, and she has taken from you a firm covenant, a commitment? Sadaqallahu al-Azim. I like the translation from Tafhim al-Quran even more. It says, how can you take it away after each one has enjoyed the other, and they have taken a firm covenant from you? So here we are talking about the dowry, right? So this was the topic even in the previous ayah, that here the firm covenant also is used, which means a mithaq, which means basically anything. Before we get into firm covenant, let's talk about the dowry already. That we established yesterday that the dowry in Islam is not given by a woman at all. The woman does not have any financial responsibility to contribute to the wedding and establishment of the marital bond. It's actually upon a man to provide for the arrangement of the wedding. And you know what's interesting here is that, of course, there are some cultural norms, and that's okay. But what happens, unfortunately, is that even if it's a cultural norm, you know, if a father wants to give something from his happiness and joy to his daughter, that, you know, she takes with her to the new house, because this was also the practice of the Prophet ﷺ, that for one of his daughters, he actually gave something new, something for to decorate, something that his daughter could take with her to her new home, and that is completely fine to do it as out of joy, out of something to, you know, as a present, like, why not? But then to consider it as an obligation and to pressure the family of the woman and to mistreat the woman, especially the dynamics of the relationship that alter after the missing dowry from the woman's side between the mother-in-law and the woman. This is where, you know, this is where then the problem occurs. That why do we have to consider it as an obligation upon a woman to buy an obligation to equip the apartment of the husband, to buy each and every furniture. And if she fails to do that, then there is a problem in the wedding. Then there is an issue the way the husband treats her or the way the mother-in-law treats her. And what I really like about this ayah, and you know, it's unfortunately not that common that the responsibility of a man is spoken about. It's usually the woman, what she has to do, she has to take care of her husband, she has to, I don't know, cook him lunch, cook him breakfast, to do clean the house, look after the kids. But these are all cultural norms. These have no sound basis in Islam, actually. There is, in fact, a school of thought in Islam that even gives the leeway to the woman to demand a salary, a monthly payment for all the services that she provides to the man. I mean, she has no obligation to that if the husband comes back home and let's say she's not working, that she feels obliged to give him a glass of water, to take care of his clothes, to give him breakfast in the morning. These are things that she could do as she could do out of her own wish, but to expect that from a woman is not an Islamic deed. And this is where I wish that this rhetorical question could be considered. That because look, here Allah says that mithaq, right? See, like, how can you take it back after you've enjoyed each other? You know, you took that woman into your home, you took her away from her family, you started something new with her. And you know, in some cultures, the woman has to live with her husband's family. She has to take care of his parents. She has to, culturally speaking, she has to take care of his parents. She has to take care of his family. I know in my circles where, you know, this woman, this poor lady, she got married to this guy, and she had to cook food for 8 people every day. And that is a very inconvenience, and that's a high inconvenience, and that's a huge responsibility upon someone. So this is where, you know, Allah, I think this question also comes, that how can you take it away from each other one? How could you take it back after having enjoyed each other intimately? Right? So even if a woman allowed you to be intimate with her, to approach her in an intimate fashion. So how could you just take away dowry after doing all of that and wanting to get replace her with someone else, and then you want to also take your money back? So Allah says here that this is very unfair, and that is also something we looked at yesterday, that Allah hints at also. This is injustice. This is not fair to the woman. So here the woman, this protection of women is established here, that even, you know, and it's as I said earlier, unfortunately, even to this day, it's a woman that suffers the most after a breakup, after a marriage, and she carries much of a burden. And I think this is where Allah then talks about that. You know, you as a man, you have to make sure that you let her go with dignity. You free her with dignity. You free her with respect. Don't create a drama. Don't create anything around her. And I think that, you know, one of my favorite scholars, Sheikh Dr. Yasir Qazi, he said a beautiful thing. He said that, unfortunately, the way divorces take place in our culture, it should, and the way marriages take place, the amount of planning the planning, the effort that goes into planning a wedding, even more so you need that for a divorce. A divorce is not as simple as people have made. Divorce is really something that you need to take a step back and consider it. And it's also there's also an entire chapter on divorce, Surah Talaq, and that's where he says that this is not something simple. You know, we really have to take care of logistics of lots of how is it going to be after the split up? What kind of modifications and dynamics will come, and how are we going to go about it? You know, this is where, you know, that Islam becomes such a powerful message, that we need to know We need to know how we deal with people. It's all good and it's all good and easy as long as there's positive vibes, everything is going fine. But when things get hard, when things get tough, that's when the human nature, the human character comes into question. And I think that's why it's amazing that Allah has given us these guidelines so that we can stick to. And here again, the man is being addressed, like how you treat a woman in case of there's a separation. And I think, and I wish that you know, here again, I feel it very, very, very close attached to this, because you know, this is a practice that's very common in Pakistani culture, where you know the responsibility is upon a woman to feel responsible for the family, and especially for the parents of the husband. They are the parents of the guy. They're not the parents of the woman. She has no responsibility to take care of his father-in-law and mother-in-law. But then you impose them on your wife. You don't even ask her if she's willing to do that. And she has all the right to say no. It's my responsibility as a husband to ensure that my parents are taken care of. I'm bringing a wife into my life. I'm not bringing a maid for to come home and then start taking care of my parents and cook me food and whatnot. It's a life partner. If she does that out of her own joy and her own wish and her own desire, that's up to her. But to expect that from her, that's where the injustice comes. And I think this is why in Islam you don't have this. Islam talks about all relationships, but not there's no obligation on between this relationship between the in-laws, but daughter-in-law, the wife and the mother-in-law and father-in-law. So that's an open door. There is an absence of guidelines over there. And I think this is where it's important that to understand that if a woman wants to do it, she's free to do it, but she's also free not to do it. But then again, these are the things that are best spoken before you get married. Before, that's why there's this time given to get to know each other. So a man can tell his to be wife what he expects, and she can also tell what she expects and what kind of if she wants to live in a separate home, if she wants to live together with his parents, all of that can be discussed. But to put that as an obligation, as a compulsion, this is where, you know, this injustice is done. And that's where Allah says that, you know, you are, after you made the strong covenant for her, from her, you enjoyed herself intimately, then how can you challenge the financial stability of your former wife that is going to be? So, and I think this is where, you know, this speaks to this, that, you know, marriage, that's why it's a contract. You know, marriage is not something that you just take it easy. Marriage is something you commit to something. It's a firm commitment. And I think this is where, you know, I think this is so beautiful in Islam, that, you know, Islam does not take emotions for granted. Islam does not take a mental health of someone for granted. It's serious business. In Islam, the dignity is serious business of a human. And this is what I wish, and I hope that we Muslims can reflect upon that. And this is taught to all of us, that especially in marriages, each person has some dignity, has some self-respect that must not be compromised. And I hope and I pray to Allah that we can, again, you know, these ayat are having a background and context of jurisprudence, that we just don't start making our own assumptions, and we make our own ijtihad, and we start making our own interpretations. We are not qualified for that unless we study, we go through the schooling and teachings. So I hope and I pray to Allah that access to such learned scholars, not just any domestic scholar or whatnot, right? I mean, who has a proper knowledge, who has proper understanding, who's lived life as well, who has experience in counseling and whatnot, that may Allah make access to these gems easy, and that we also refer to them. So I pray to Allah that He guides us to His word and guide our hearts to establish justice, not only within the society, but also the relationships we have, we experience in our day-to-day life. Thank you so much for tuning in. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.